Tathevayam loka sisrikshayadya. Tvayano srishtas tripir atma bhisma.
Tvayano srishtas tripir atma bhisma.
Sarve viyukta svavihara tantram.
Sarve viyukta svavihara tantram.
Nashaknumastat pratihatta vete.
Nashaknumastat pratihatta vete.
Therefore, all of us in this context, all of us. Demigods. Loka. World. Sisrikshaya, for the sake of creation. Adya, original person. Tvaya, by you. Anusrishtaha, being created one after another. Tribhi, by the three modes of nature. Atmabhi, by one's own. Smart, in the past. Sarve, all. Viyuktaha, separated. Svavihara tantram, the network of activities for one's own pleasure. Na, not. Shaknumaha, could do it. Tat, that. Pratihartave, to award. Te, unto your. O original person, we are therefore but yours only. We're not repeating. I'm reading and thinking. So you have to. I'm just looking at the word for word to see where that's stated. Although we are your creatures, we are born one after another under the influence of the three modes of nature. And for this reason, we are separated in action. Therefore, after the creation, we could not act concertedly for your transcendental pleasure. Purport, the cosmic creation is working under the influence of the three modes of the external potency of the Lord. Different creatures are also under the same influence. And therefore, they cannot act concertedly in satisfying the Lord. Because of this diverse activity, there cannot be any harmony in the material world. The best policy, therefore, is to act for the sake of the Lord. That will bring about the desired harmony. Om Gana Timirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Tena Tasmaye Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Namano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim
yat kripa tamaham bande shri gurum dinatarinam.
So the demigods are acknowledging here that we are yours. We are yours, speaking to the Lord. We are yours. Not everything. Anadiya Adiya Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. So, Lord Brahma, who's the leader of the demigods, informs us that Krishna is the cause of all causes. He's the Adi. And so it's mentioned here, Sistrikshaya Adiya. Adiya means the original person. For the sake of creation, Sisrikshaya Adiya. Twaya, by you. So we are the Lord's, we belong to Krishna. We belong to the Lord. He is our source and he's also our sustenance. And of course, in due course of time, according to his plans, the forms that we've inherited will be destroyed, ultimately by under his order. Although that facility is being provided by the material energy. Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya tadatchaya. Material energy, it's a divine potency, just as we're also a divine potency. The living entity, mamai vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. So we're all part and parcel. Anksa, right, means a part of the Lord, mamai vamsa. So we're a small part of Krishna. We're expansions of Krishna. In one sense, we're expansions of Krishna, and so therefore we are like Krishna, but of course we're not fully Krishna. Right? Nobody can be fully Krishna except for Krishna. That's the meaning of, you know, Adipurusham, the original person from which everything else emanates. Yo vidadhati kamam, and he's supplying for everyone. But still, from another point of view, we're the same as Krishna, being an expansion of his potencies. One in quality, but different in quantity. And of course, one of the characteristics there is that we are beings and he's a being, but his being is such that he's never ever touched by the material energy, and he's never ever under the influence of the material energy, whereas our characteristic of being is that we can fall down at any time and be under the influence of the material energy. We are known as the Tatashtak Shakti. That means we can be influenced by the spiritual potency, or we can be influenced by the material potency. Tatashta, which means marginal. And as a result of our desires to be independent from Krishna, therefore we come under the influence of that material energy. Prabhupada says here, the cosmic creation is working under the influence of the three modes of the external potency of the Lord. Right? And that's in the sloka. Tribhi, tribhir atma bhisma, sarve viyukta sva vihara tantram. Tribhi means the three modes of material nature. Atmabhi, by one's own. Sma, past. Sarve, and what? So here, under the influence of the three modes of material nature. In other words, under the influence of the material energy of the Lord, characterized by the three modes of material nature. We are separated, viyuktaha. Why? We're separated from you. Why? Swafihara tantram. The network of activities for our own pleasure. Right? We're seeking pleasure in the material world under the influence of the modes of material nature. So therefore, you know, under the mode of ignorance, we take birth in the lower species and derive pleasure from degraded activities. Right? We see that in modern society. People get pleasure in degraded activities. Meat eating, gambling, intoxication, inappropriate sensual pursuits. This all clouds the pure nature of the spirit soul. Right? Mode of ignorance clouds us, and so therefore the mode of ignorance drags us down into the lower realms of consciousness and the lower realms of activity as a result. But the living entity thinks they're having fun. Right? We're having fun. But actually they're suffering. This is a symptom of the mode of ignorance. Gets drunk, staggers around all over the place, gets into a fight, disgorges, you know, what they had for what they just had. And then they wake up the next day and say, what happened? Thought, oh, we had a great time last night. Can't remember what happened. Right? This is a mode of ignorance. Mode of passion is a little more elevated. Pursuance of unlimited desires. There's desire in the mode of ignorance, but it gets covered. And tends to indolence, sleep, and intoxication, and confusion. Mode of passion is slightly different in that there's greater action for the pursuit of sense gratification. In the acquisition of material position, property, wealth, influence, notoriety, material activities based on sense gratification, basically. And you know, that's practically speaking in all different species of life. But as we come to the human form of life, then it expands into, what does Prabhupada say, society, friendship, and love. Right? Society, friendship, and love. until we run into, you know, this selfishness, right? This selfishness. Mode of ignorance is a particular kind of selfishness where one desires, by the association of that mode, to enjoy it. But then again, we can also associate with the mode of passion and then want to enjoy the results of activities in the mode of passion. Unlimited desires. Wanting more and more control and manipulation of the material energy. And then by association with the mode of goodness, then one aspires to happiness, health, detachment, learning, a regulated life with an emphasis on purity. One can desire to, under the influence of the mode of goodness, to live a life of elevation, because the mode of goodness actually elevates us from the lower species of life to the human species of life to the demigods and rishis and sages with the potential for a spiritual focus on existence, because that's the real purpose of learning. Real learning means not to be able to create, Prabhupada says, technological devices. Right? That is a learning, you know, to be able to create, you know, in one sense, in 1982 or 83, a computer this size would probably fit into, you know, a couple of rooms this size. To be, you know, we had a 20 megabyte hard drive. That was like, wow, 20 megabyte, you know, that's amazing. Now, how much have we got on this thing? Just amazing. But that kind of, it's learning, and there's skill involved, but it's just the skill of a manufacturer, of a person who can make things. It's not a measure of real learning. The measure of real learning is to understand how the creation is working, to understand what its purpose is, to solve the problems of life. Birth, death, old age and disease. These are the problems of life. And we should solve those problems. That learning which teaches us how to solve the real problems of life, not just eating, sleeping, mating and defending. That's the behaviour of the animals. But the real problem is to overcome birth, death, old age and disease. That's real learning. That's the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness leads us to that kind of an understanding. And everybody in this day and age is so completely covered by the modes of passion and ignorance, there's very few institutions in the world, practically speaking we can say there are none, that are genuinely dedicated to solving the real problems of existence. And having a spiritual understanding alongside the material technical expertise. In fact, a person in the mode of goodness will understand the techniques of spiritual life. So, you know, persons in the mode of goodness are attracted to learning, to a regulated lifestyle, to foods that is purifying and elevating. So depending on what our attraction is, and usually It's not that we're attracted primarily to one mode of material nature. It's a mix. When the Lord glances over the material energy and it starts to move, then it all gets swirled around. And so modes of material nature are mixed. And so we find in ourselves a combination of passion, goodness and ignorance. And all of that comes about because of our individuality, our personality, our being, if you like. We're all beings, all individuals, and we have, as a consequence, our own set of desires. We have our own, and as a result of those desires, we have our own set of association with the material energy, with the three modes of material nature. And so that's why we all come out as mixed up as we are. Right? Because each one of us has unique character. No two people are the same. Right? And the material energy is designed in such a way so that each one of us can act in such a way so that we can try to fulfill the various desires that we have in association with the modes of material nature. So, you know, we can be a demigod, we can be a worm in stall. And that's as a result of our desire. We see things and we think, oh, that'd be nice, I wonder what that's like. And so then the material energy creates the facility for us to enjoy it. Problem with that is then, as is pointed out here, we all act individually, and as a consequence, there is no harmony at all within the creation, effectively. Whatever harmony is there is forced onto us by the laws of material nature. You know, sunshine, night, you know, daytime, nighttime. Summer, you know, very 40 degrees yesterday. These are things that are forced onto us. Adi bhautik, adi atmik, and adi daivika klesh, sufferings of the the threefold miseries. So the demigods are saying, we are yours, so we belong to you. And we should be working for your benefit, right? But we don't. We're yours, but because we think that we're ours individually, this is the false conception of existence in the material in the material sense, material creation. We don't identify with our spiritual identity. We identify with our material body. The one that we've been awarded as a result of that association with the three modes of material nature. We are very, very fortunate because we've come to the human form of life. That in and of itself is a great boon. But still, because we're all individual and we all think ourselves, you know, more important than we really are, at least from a material perspective, then there's always conflict. There's always conflict. You know, everybody is looking for peace, right? Everybody's looking for peace of mind. Everybody's looking for happiness. Everybody wants happiness and satisfaction. We have an unlimited capacity to relish and enjoy. Which is why, you know, the people in the mode of ignorance keep on being in a mode of ignorance, keep on consuming, you know, keep on getting pushed down. People in a mode of passion, driven by the desire to accumulate things, they keep working and keep working and keep working and keep working. And those in the mode of goodness also pursue their forms of enjoyment unrelentlessly. So, but because there's no, the Prabhupada gives the example, and that's why there will always be this conflict within society, because each one of us is pursuing our own individual plan, right? Each one of us has got their own. And so, unfortunately, then we tend to bump into each other, because and that's why we're all put in the same place, and that's why we have the Adi Bhautik miseries, right? We have to deal with each other. What to speak of having to deal with our own mind also, right? Krishna says, Mana shastan indriyani prakritistan kashati. So we're in that place of the material energy and struggling with the mind and the senses, trying to satisfy those desires, unaware of our original identity. And Prabhupada gives the example. Because of that, we're all, our aims or our goals are all in different places. And so it appears then that we're at odds, not it appears, we are, we're at odds with each other. Our Prabhupada says, you're a being, I'm a being, I agree to, I disagree with you, you disagree with me. And he says, but then sometimes, I mentioned this the other day, sometimes we agree to, you know, work together. We agree to agree for our sense gratification. Then when our sense gratification is at poles apart, then we fight. Right? We see it. Husband and wife come together, everything's happy, everything's enjoyable, and then and they pursue their enjoyment, and then, you know, a few years down the track, you know, I don't like you anymore. You were exploiting me. Blah, blah, blah. Right? Because the sense gratification, the desires for sense gratification have changed. So Prabhupada says it, because of this diverse activity, there cannot be any harmony in the material world. Right? No harmony. The example that Prabhupada gives of throwing stones into the lake, and when you throw stones into the lake, then you create ripples, and they're all focused in different points, and so therefore the ripples come along and they collide with each other and disturb their circumference, or their radiation from the one point. But it probably makes the point, if we all throw our stones into the one place, then the ripples that come out, they're all concentric and they don't clash with each other. So when our interests based on our body, mind and body, subtle and gross body, are focused on me, what's in it for me, then we get a clash of interest. You know, it may sometimes be together at different points, but it's only a matter of time before it fragments and we go off in different directions and then it clashes. Right? We were discussing this the other day in the disciple course. We're always testing people to find out where their interests lie. And if their interests lie with our interests, then we're friends. We're allies. But if our interests diverge, then we can very quickly become enemies. When I was a kid, every 2 or 3 years I was in a different school and I'd have to make a new set of friends. And you could almost be guaranteed that the first people that you made friends with at school weren't necessarily the people that you ended up being friends with later on down the track. Your so-called friends. If we want to be friends, then we have to have the same focus all of the time. When it's for our sense gratification, because of our individuality and our association with the modes of material nature, then those desires change because of that influence. So we may come together with others to enjoy, but then in due course of time we'll be separated because our interests will be different. And that's how the material, Prabhupada says the material creation is like the ocean and we're like flotsam and jetsam, right? So the wave will bring us all together, very, very well, right? And then the waves go down and then we're all over the place, right? But the point here that, not stated directly in the verse, but in the purport, because the demigods say, after the creation, we could, because of our individuality, we're all individuals and we have free will. We can use our individuality in whatever way we like. Right, if you want to become an animal, material energy provides it. If you want to become a human being, the material energy provides it. If you want to become a demigod, the material energy will provide it. According to our karmas, right? According to the way of action. But that'll always separate us. So if we want harmony, if we want peace and harmony in the creation, then we need to give up our false sense of individuality. Because that makes it impossible for us to work together for a cause that's common to all of us. It's inevitable. Whereas if we remember who we are, that we are Krishnas, and that our individuality has actually been given to us by Krishna, and that the best interest, our best interests are served not when we pursue those desires that are as a result of our association with the three modes of material nature, but rather we purify our consciousness so that we work to fulfill that which is best for the common good. That means ultimately working for Krishna. We're all part and parcel of Krishna, and so when we work for Krishna's interest, then automatically our interests are taken care of. Prabhupada says here, the best policy, therefore, is to act for the sake of the Lord. That will bring about the desired harmony, which is what the demigods are dedicated to doing, actually. But they're saying, because of our individuality, based on a false conception of who we are, we forget our relationship with you, we pursue our own plans, and we just run into trouble. But if we understand who we are and what's in our best interest, then we serve you. And when we serve you, then our focus is one. And our interest is one. That's how, that's oneness in Krishna consciousness, is when we all work together for Krishna's satisfaction. That's how we can be really happy. Well, because of this diverse activity, there cannot be any harmony in the material world. The best policy, therefore, is to act for the sake of the Lord. Bhaktaram jagyatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram surinam sarva bhuktanam yatva mam shantim richati. Who wants to be peaceful? Shanti. Yeah? We all want to be peaceful. So that means we have to work together. Doesn't it? We have to have a leader. Who's our leader? Who's our leader? Krishna, Radha Balabha, Gaunitai, Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, Srila Prabhupada. They're our leaders. Right? We need to work under their auspices. That's our plan. This is the plan of the Krishna consciousness movement, to work under the auspices of Krishna. And you know, Krishna tells us, here's how I want you to act. Srila Prabhupada tells us, here's how I want you to act. I want you to act concertedly and cooperatively in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is our methodology. This is our best policy. Right? Therefore, is to act for the sake of the Lord. What does the Lord want us to do? Broadly speaking, starts with a P. Preach. Yeah. Right? There is no one more dear to me than he who teaches this message of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says. And Lord Chaitanya wanted the chanting of Hare Krishna to be spread in every town and village. And we know, the reason why we all fall in line behind Prabhupada is because we recognize that he's the empowered representative of Lord Chaitanya to do that work. Right? That's why we follow Prabhupada. Prabhupada's our leader because he has demonstrated, he's done what Krishna wanted. Isn't it? And nobody else was able to do it. Right? That's why we follow Prabhupada. Prabhupada is the central focus of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Everybody exists within ISKCON to serve Prabhupada. It's the duty of us, it's the duty of the Siksha Gurus and the Diksha Gurus within ISKCON to connect anybody and everybody that we meet with Srila Prabhupada. That's how we then work together for the sake of Krishna. That's our mission. And Prabhupada said, you know, your love for me will be demonstrated by how cooperatively you work together to spread the mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That's our method of working together to work concertedly, cooperatively, in harmony. Right? That will bring, Prabhupada says it, that will bring about the desired harmony. That's why we have harmony within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Right? I mean, look at the diversity of the people in this room. Right? Look at the diversity when you think about it. such a diverse bunch of people. When I first joined the temple, I look around at the devotees and think, how did I end up here? If I had a choice, I wouldn't be with any of these people. Huh? According to Mode's material nature, I was, who I was. What I really wanted to do was rock and roll. Right? I get to dovetail my rock and roll propensity by chanting Hare Krishna. Right? But, some people are immersed in their careers, some people are immersed in their family, some people are immersed in intoxication, some people are immersed in living healthily, whatever. All so many different interests. But we voluntarily put aside all of that interest that we had, all of that conditioning that we've had from our past interactions with the modes of material nature, and we recognize, Prabhupada says, you're not the body, you're a spirit soul, you're a servant of Krishna. And we recognize that. Right? So we put it aside. Indian, Russian, American, Australian, Dutch, what else have we got here? Italian. Right? Your family's Italian, right? Dad's Italian. So we think, oh, I'm an Italian. Or I'm an Australian Italian. Right? Filipino mix over here. What about you? George? Yeah. Where from? Chile?
Argentina.
Over here there's some Chileans. Right? Chile Wallace. So all of this mix, we got a huge mix. But Prabhupada, there's that image was it the Hare Krishna people at the end of that, or was it you were ever well wisher? There was a kirtan, and then they describe it as the United Nations of the spiritual world, right? Prabhupada said, if we want the United Nations, we've got to get off the bodily platform. Right? Because so long as we're in a bodily concept of life, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm the other thing, then it all starts to break up. But it all comes together when we focus on Krishna. That's what we're taught. That's what we're taught. We actually have to be very careful in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness not to form cliques or groups that then start to compete with each other. Huh? We have to be very careful not to do that. And you get it in different ways. We're the brahmanas. You're just the managers. Right? Not spiritual. We're spiritual, but you're not spiritual. You're just a dishwasher. Right? That's an example. Or, we're the XYZ Maharaj disciples. We're much better than you guys because we all got the best guru. Right? Or here's another one that can turn up. We're the preachers. We're the preachers, we're the best, because we're the preachers. We're the book distributors, I've done it myself. We're the Sankirtan devotees. We're the Sankirtan devotees and you're just the... One devotee in this temple who promulgated this theory was removed from the temple twice by the previous temple president. Because he couldn't stop himself from promoting the group that he was looking after. And it created a disturbance. We don't have to listen to what the temple president says. Because we're the most advanced devotees. We're the preachers. These guys just stuck in their offices. What do they know? What do they know about Sankirtan? right? We used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? Get half our rounds, China before Mongol Arctic. So we started to think, yeah, we're the most advanced around here. And because we're the most advanced, now we can tell everybody else what to do. Right? So we have to be careful. We need to keep Krishna in the center. And that requires humility. Because otherwise, this tendency to want to be, to exercise our own independence and to want to do our own thing, it can even manifest in a spiritual community. Right? It manifests. It easily manifests. That's why, you know, the measure of a devotee in one sense is not necessarily how much they do, but how they qualify, how they may do a lot, but internally they're also cultivating the qualities of the 26 qualities of a devotee will automatically manifest in the character of a devotee who's focused on serving Krishna. Otherwise, what can happen is we start doing big, big things and we get proud of it. And then, so what happens then is these qualities that create, that seed dissension and individuality based on a material concept of life can creep into an organization which primarily and ordinarily the focus is on serving Krishna, but it becomes, you know, serve Krishna but do it the way, you know, our group does it because we do it the best, right? Prabhupada said the book distributors are already back home, back to Godhead, right? So that means we're the most advanced, obviously. And look, I don't think we have a problem with the book distributors here, but you get my drift. These things can come in and disturb the peacefulness of everybody working together concertedly and together. Right? And we have a system for doing that. Through our temple authorities, that's the system by which we all work together. Temple president, departmental managers, Sankirtan leader, the head pujari, the restaurant managers, you know, that's our siksha line. That's our siksha line. And when we receive instructions from those devotees to do our service, that's as good as coming from Krishna. Because what the devotees sometimes think is, oh, you're just the managers telling people what to do. You know, that's not actually spiritual life. That's just material management. But it's not. Managing the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is not an activity of materialistic people. It's an activity of pure devotional service, or it should be. Right? When we ask the devotees to cooperate to serve Radha Ballabha, that's not material activity. It's purely spiritual activity. We don't manage material activities in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Therefore, the devotees who look after these things, they're not working on the material platform. None of us are working on the material platform. But if we generate the kind of mentality that the demigods here are saying causes us to work independently and to follow our own materially contaminated ideas, that's when we get materialism entering into the activities of pure devotional service. We get a mix. And we don't want that. Neither do we need it. Prabhupada didn't want it. Therefore, Prabhupada said, your love for me will be determined by how cooperatively you work. So, and that's not easy. You know, the GBC comes to me and says, you should do this or you should do that. And I say, oh, we can't do that. No, it's too hard. Right? But then I have to take it seriously. They say, they want me to do this. Okay, I've got to do it. You know, there's always, you know, when you're asked to do something, there's always a bit of an initial reaction. Ah, I can't do that. Right? My wife asked me, I'm not allowed to tell jokes about my wife. I get in trouble. But I'll tell you anyway, you know. She says, what would you like for dinner? Right? And I say, I wouldn't mind this. No, you can't have that. Right? So then, now I worked it out. This is how it goes. What would you like for dinner? What options have I got? No, you've got to tell me what you want. Right? So even in the most harmonious of relationships, right? The most harmonious of relationships, still there's conflict. Right? Like, here's an example. We've got Crossways, right? Everybody knows that we've got Crossways, especially the younger devotees. And they think, oh no, I'm going to have to work in Crossways for the rest of my life. Although history tells us that's not what happens. Okay, maybe a year or so or whatever. And it's good for us because it's discipline. But in the beginning, we need to eradicate this mood of I am who I am and I do what I like. But it should be, I'm a servant of Krishna, I do what Krishna wants. Right? And for our preaching, that's what it's one of our focuses. It's not everything, but it's one of the things we do. And we know there's a roster and we're supposed to go at a certain time every day. Sorry, girls, if I sound like I'm picking on you. But it is a good example. But they don't go. The manager says, what's wrong with these guys, you know? They're all turning up late. This is a good test. It's just a very, very simple test. We know we're supposed to do the service, and you know, I'm guilty of it too. We know we're supposed to turn up for Mongol Artik at least 24 minutes past 4. Is that right? At least 24 minutes. We should be there, ready, chada, tilak, everything. We should be at the door at least 20, because we've got to go in at 25 minutes past. And I remember when I would wake up, what's the time? 4 o'clock. Right? I've got to get there by such and such a time. And I always turn up 26 minutes past. Right? Always turn up at 26. So even in our working cooperatively together, sometimes we can be a bit stuck, you know, a bit resistant to what Krishna wants. But ideally, this is how we as ISKCON communities work together. We do have a structure. We have a governing body. We have a governing body representative who oversees what we do. The temple presidents and the temple managers, the temple executives, they're answerable to those devotees. And then the devotees within the community meant to work with the people who are managing. And that's spiritual activity. It is not at all material activity. We should never think that it is. And we should see the devotees from the spiritual platform. And we should honour and respect that system. That's how the parampara system manifests itself, practically speaking, in ISKCON. It's unique to ISKCON. The temple leaders, the GBC, the gurus, all of us are answerable to one person, that's Prabhupada. And Prabhupada set up this system for us all to work cooperatively so that Krishna is the focus. And so all of those activities are not at all material. They're all meant for Krishna's pleasure. And so when we're all working together for Krishna's pleasure, we're not in the material world. We're in the spiritual world. But we have to be careful to not allow these tendencies to creep back in. They can. Maya's tricky. Her job, Maya's job, is to put us into Maya. Right? Each one of us. That's her job. Each one of us, basically her job is to make sure that we don't serve Krishna. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And she's Krishna's servant. It's hard to work out. Krishna's servant is trying to put us into Maya. But it's a test. It's a test. And one of those tricks of Maya is for her to cover us so that we see the other devotees as just ordinary people. Especially when we work together so closely. Right? We all work together so closely, and so therefore we tend to, you know, when we first join a temple and we see the devotees, we think, oh boy, these guys are all like demigods. They're all pure. All they do is serve Krishna all day long. Right? But after a few years, ah, oh, not that guy. He's out of it. Huh? Oh, always admire. Huh? That's what we think. We tend to see the devotees from a materialistic point of view. When we first come, we see everybody as a demigod, or at least four-armed Vaikuntha resident. Huh? But then later on, after we've worked with them and we see all of their idiosyncrasies, then we come to the realization. Not actually a devotee at all. Don't even know why he's here. Huh? Like, I remember when I used to think of the temple president. I didn't know the temple president very well. I said, who is this guy anyway? Who does he think he is? So we need to, we've not so easy seeing everything from this point of view. It means understanding everybody's spiritually focused, spiritual presence, identity, and then that the activities that they perform, and this is why we need to be dedicated to a service and a service that's under a master. Right? Not that we just go off and do our service and just do what we like. Because then who are you serving? You're just serving your own mental concoction of who it is or who you should be. But we need to be working under somebody else. We need a Prabhu to work under. Well, that's our system. That's the Parampara system. And it should be according to the systems that Prabhupada set up. That's our test. That's our spiritual activities. Working together cooperatively so that we don't get these different factions, but rather we're all members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and we all work accordingly to Prabhupada's plan. And the reason why we work according to Prabhupada's plan is because we know that Prabhupada was especially empowered by Lord Chaitanya to head up a preaching mission that's successful in establishing this cooperative, harmonious collective of devotees all over the world. Which is what the demigods are aspiring to do. Right? Work cooperatively for the pleasure of Krishna, then everybody's happy. That's how we're going to be happy. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Never forget your goals and don't stop working. So don't give up your ideals. Prabhupada never gave up his ideals. Right? When he was leaving to go to America, some of his friends told him, you're going to need to learn to eat with a knife and a fork. Prabhupada didn't listen. Right? He said, no. Why? Like Prabhupada said, he said, I know where these five fingers have been. I don't know where that knife and fork have been. Right? So he didn't give up, he didn't abandon his ideals, even though people, you know, might say, why don't you eat in a civilized way with a knife and fork? Prabhupada considered eating with the hands is more civilized. I've seen some interesting ways of eating with your hands. But, you know, actually you pre-digest the food. Right? And if you haven't got all of your teeth, it's also good to, you know, pre-digest. Then you can just take the liquids or what, you know, it's all been mushed up. For example. So, yeah, we're idealistic. And we may not be living up to our ideals, but we don't give up our ideals. We continue to work towards them. It's a continuous struggle for existence in spiritual life as it is in material life. Anything else? Under the modes of material nature? Generally speaking, we have a sadhana regime. Each one of us will have a sadhana regime, and it's generally based on the principles of Rupa Goswami. That's our, you know, he tells us what we should be doing, getting up early, cleaning, chanting, studying. So we have a basic sadhana practice. And that sadhana practice is coincidentally in line with the mode of goodness. So if we follow that practice, we'll be elevated to goodness and beyond. Actually, it's beyond goodness. So that sadhana practice is designed to remind us of who we are. Right? And as Narayani said yesterday, two things very important, hearing and chanting. Chanting Hare Krishna, studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, or, you know, studying the Vedic literature. You know, performing the austerities of the body. What are the austerities of the body? Rising early. Worshipping the guru, worshipping the spiritual master, worshipping Krishna. Studying the Vedic literature. Honoring parents is austerity and a mode of goodness. Huh? Different things. So, really that's meant to cultivate this service attitude to Krishna. That's our sadhana practice, to cultivate the mood of a servant. So good sadhana, good service mentality starts with good sadhana. We shouldn't what?
Discriminate.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. The Matyadikari devotee is one of his qualities.
Yes. No, not that we shouldn't discriminate against them based on material considerations. Right? But we need to discriminate properly. And proper discrimination means understanding where each devotee sits in the spectrum or in the continuum of advancement in devotional service. Right? So we know that basically for everything, Prabhupada says, there are three categories. For almost everything, there are three categories. Like we have the three modes of material nature. We have three different types of devotees. We have the Kanishtha, the Madhyam, and the Uttama Adhikari. We need to be able to distinguish between devotees based on spiritual characteristics, not material characteristics. Yeah. That makes sense? Yeah. So definitely discrimination is required. But there's two different types of discrimination. There's discrimination based on the qualities or the characteristics, the features of an object, right? Or there's prejudice, or what's a synonym for prejudice? Yeah, stereotyping. Bias. Yeah. Based on a material calculation. Ah, he's a manager. He's just telling people what to do. Yeah, it's his service. It's his service to Prabhupada. He's just a, oh, he's a disciple of another guru. Nah, not so good. You know, not a Sankirtan devotee. Right? Not a preacher. Whereas, you know, the people who clean the temple room, it's preaching.